It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. We've been studying the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 16, and now we have been in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10. And so I just ask that you would open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews right now, and we're going to read Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading in that area of Scripture at the 15th verse, and we're going to read down from the 15th verse of Hebrews chapter 9 here, and we're going to read a couple more verses of Scripture and then jump from the 19th to the 22nd and then on into the 10th chapter. So I hope that you have your Bibles open and able to do that today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. You'll find many studies. Some of these radio programs are on the site. Sunday messages you'll find on the site. And so the website is, I hope that it'll be a blessing to you and a learning experience for you to open the Scripture up and study along with the messages that we have on the website. Now, again, Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading with the 15th verse, and we're going to read the 15th verse and then come down to the 19th through the 21st verse and enjoy these Scriptures. And so, if you'll follow along with me now, and for this cause, He is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Down to the 19th verse. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now I'm going to read verses 23 and 24, I hope that you enjoy this. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I hope that you enjoyed those verses of Scripture. Now let's turn over to the 10th chapter. And as we look at the 10th chapter here, while we can see the Scripture verses here, we're going to begin with the 11th verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, that this is the covenant that I make, that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. Now the 19th verse. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if ye sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now we're going to go to the Lord in prayer after we've read through those areas of Scripture. Please, dear Father, that you will show us your way and will today, as we have just read different sections of Scripture here in the 9th and 10th chapter of Hebrews. I ask that you would show us your way and will, and help us to see it today carefully and prayerfully, dear Lord, that you would show us what we're to do for salvation, and what we're to do to serve you and to follow after you each day after we're saved. We are to be servants of yours, and so please, dear Lord, that you will show us your way and will for our lives. And so, Father, I just ask that you'll open our eyes and our hearts today to your will and to your way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been talking about the Day of Atonement, and that day was the day that the Lord brought in two goats, and they decided which goat was to be the Lord's and which should be the scapegoat, which would be going be put to death, and then the blood would be taken, and that is the Lord's. And then the other one, of course, is the scapegoat, and the high priest, which was Aaron, would come out, and he would place his two hands upon the head of that live goat and confess all the sins of all the people, and then that goat would be led up into the mountains, never to return again. And as we look at that Day of Atonement, that wonderful day, it took place once, but it did do it every year, year after year. And if you were listening to the verses of Scripture here in the 9th and the 10th chapter, you'll notice that it repeatedly used the word once, because you see, our Lord finished the work. And when he finished it, he only needed to go in once before his Father. When he went in, it was finished. And so I want you to see that, and see that this picture for all these years was a picture of something that was to come, and now it has been completed. And so in this 15th verse here, as we go back to Hebrews chapter 9, we talk about a mediator of a New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. You know, this is when we say that the testament, you can hear from time to time, maybe you've been involved with an estate or something like that, and you go for the reading of the will, and they will say this is the last will and testament. And so we have this here. This is the last will and testament of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through these verses of Scripture, we confirm of the necessity of the blood of Christ to make this testament valid. It has got to be with the blood. And anybody that denies the blood of Christ, salvation is not yours. It has got to be set upon the blood of Christ. And so we need to see that. Yes, and the had to die. The person had to die. And we see that here in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, and then he presented his blood. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection is considered this last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his burial, and of course his resurrection. We look here and it says the testament, the New Testament. And it we talked about the last will and testament here. A covenant, and we find that word is used from time to time through the Scripture. A covenant is something that's an agreement between two or more parties. And the covenant can be brought together, and it can be established and started whenever you agree for its beginning. It has no bearing on whether the people that are involved are alive or dead. And a matter of fact, most of the time, the covenant is of no value after the death, after there's a death that comes. And so this agreement takes effect, again, whenever you agree for it to, and it deals with whatever matters that you have included in this covenant, this promise. Now, a testament is a voluntary act and deed of a single person, and it's duly executed and witnessed, and which can only take effect upon the death of that individual. And so it's a little bit different from a covenant versus a testament. Now here we're talking about the last will and testament. And again, that's basically what the gospel is: the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the last will and testament. Christ, we find, is our mediator, and as you look at this verse of Scripture 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now, we look at this New Testament versus the First Testament. Now, we find that we need to be redeemed from our transgressions. We need to be redeemed from our sin. And those sins were found out by the law. That law was laid out in front of us, and it showed us how filthy and how dirty we were and how much we need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has completed that. His last will and testament is the gospel of death, burial, and his resurrection. So what wonderful things to see and to understand is a very simple principle, a very important principle that we all need to see and need to know. And so I hope that you don't miss these little things as we kind of look through here. This Day of Atonement is a picture of just that, just what our Lord was going to do for us upon the cross of Calvary. He was going to complete this last will and testimony. It was going to be finished. Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. Now let's think about that. The mediator of the New Testament. He came to redeem the people from their sins. The sins that was committed against the law. That's what he came to do. He came to redeem us. The First Testament, the law condemned us. So he came to redeem us. And we have this here. And to also, there is a means to receive this. And so not only did he come to redeem us, but he also came to qualify all that are called to receive the promise of eternal life. Now, how do you come by faith to Jesus Christ? It's just that simple. You ask him to come into your heart to save you. It's a free gift. It's a gift given. You just need to put your hand out and receive it, my friend. It is by grace. But not all are saved. Many believe in a universal salvation and think that all the universe is saved. God loves man so much. He gave man a will, and that will we need to deal with. And many people refuse by their own wills, they refuse to come by faith to Jesus. And so I just want you to understand that all you need to do is to ask Jesus to come into your heart to save you. That's what you need to do. And I hope that you do that today. And it is so simple, and it comes through the Word of God. It's by grace. If the Spirit of God right now is dealing with your heart, you're seeing your sin, that's what needs to happen, because you've got to be lost before you can be saved. And what a wonderful work has taken place. What a wonderful picture through all this, through the Day of Atonement and through this book of Hebrews as it confirms and brings this all together. If we'd back up to the 11th verse of Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's a work that he's doing. What a wonderful work that he has done. Let's come and just read down through the 19th verse now of this chapter. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and hyssop, water of scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Almost all things are by law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. There is no hope without the blood of Christ. There is no hope for you. There was no hope for any of the things of the tabernacle. There was no hope for the people without the blood. And Moses, Aaron, of course, is the high priest. But prior to that being put into place, Moses took the blood and he sprinkled the people and everything, the tabernacle, the vessels, and the people. And so what a wonderful picture we have here. It is necessary, verse 23, and it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, the blood of goats and calves. What the picture that Moses was doing, that couldn't take away sin. It has to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our perfect offering, our perfect sacrifice. And verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What wonderful words that we read in the 11th and 12th verse, and then we come over here and read that verse 24. Jesus did it for us, and he come and now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is our mediator, and he holds that position. He is the high priest. Remember the high priest and what the responsibility was. You know, the high priest brought together the people. God needed a representative, someone to bring and come before the people to him. And the high priest's responsibility, as we've said before, he must offer up their prayers, their thanksgiving, their sacrifices. And this begins as their representative in the things pertain to God. So he would show the people what God would tell him. Well, not always, but part of the time then, he would not only represent God to man, but man to God. It was both ways. And so what a wonderful responsibility the high priest held. And as we find our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our mediator, is our high priest. And we find that he does the same. He is the go-between. He is the one that allows us to talk and to communicate between God the Father and man, and God back down to us. If we're to learn anything of our Father, it has to be through the Son. And if he is to know anything of us, it has to be through the Son back to the Father. As the high priest, it's the same thing. It's that role. He is the mediator. He is our high priest. That's Jesus. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And again, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So what a wonderful look and what a wonderful picture as we see those things. Now, if we would move over to Hebrews chapter 10, and again, I want to have you see the connection. Aaron would go in, and he would sprinkle the. He first would kill a bullock because he needed the blood for himself, and so he would go before the Lord into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle seven times across the mercy seat, and only till after the incense had filled the area. All those things was necessary. It's God's way. It's God's plan. And then he would return, and he would take the blood of the single goat that died and would go in and do the same on behalf of the people, presenting the blood. Well, our Lord did the same thing. Let's listen now to these verses of Scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, being Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. If you come by faith to Jesus Christ, the work of sanctification begins, a work of cleaning and a work of cleansing of the old flesh. And that work will not be done until we receive our glorified bodies, but it is an ongoing work. And also, my friend, not only are we set on towards sanctification, and I don't believe the Word of God is telling us at all that we can become sanctified holy. I don't think that'll ever happen here upon earth in this body. Yes, with our glorified bodies, but not until then. And so as we know that that's not going to come till Jesus comes and raptures the church away. And so we're looking forward to that, very excited about that day, the day that's going to come. We are waiting, and of course he'll take the church away. Then we're going to have 7 years of tribulation, and at the close of that 7 years of tribulation, why, the Battle of Armageddon that you have heard of, I'm sure, and that is when that'll occur at the last part of the tribulation period, and that is when our Lord will come. We will be with him, and we will come, and he will speak and destroy the enemy. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, verse 13. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He offered himself. He was perfect. He could do it. No one else, no animal could do it, nothing, no one. And he did. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's only one, and that's Jesus. For centuries, forever, as long as time has been, man has tried to do their own thing to deal with their sin. And it goes all the way back to Cain. Cain tried to bring an offering unto the Lord. It was his own offering. It was his own means. It was something that he had established. It was not the way that God had set it up. And God didn't accept it. And it angered Cain. Well, it shouldn't have, because it wasn't what God had said. You know, Cain had the gall to think he could tell God what was acceptable. Well, we try to do the same thing, and we do the same thing with worship, with our offerings, with our sacrifices, with our ways of salvation. We think that we can just change it because it fits our lifestyle a little better. Well, you can change it if you like, but it is going to be eternal death for you, damnation for you, the lake of fire for you, if you choose to do that. And so we find here that the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. He comes into our hearts, and he shows us the way of God. He teaches us what a wonderful, wonderful work is underway. We have God the Father. We have God the Son as the mediator, our high priest. And then we have the Holy Spirit that lives within our heart. So now we speak to the Lord Jesus, and we don't even know what to speak, but the Holy Spirit helps us and speaks to the Son, and the Son then takes it to the Father, and the Father could say, you know, I don't know them. They're dirty, filthy sinners. Look at the flesh. Look at what they do. And our Savior would say, Jesus would say, no, you can't see them. The only thing you can see is the blood. So you see, when God the Father looks at us, he never sees us. He'll never say that, because he doesn't see us. He sees his Son's blood that was bought and paid for. How do we receive this? We receive this by acknowledging our sin, realizing the laws that we have broken, all the laws, and it is made us a lost sinner. We need to trust in Jesus as our Savior. So just ask him to come into your heart when you've accepted that. You realize and accepted that you're lost, then you can be saved. And so please today that salvation will come into your heart and you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and we're just about out of time, but having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What have I just said? The Holy Spirit that lives within us. We go to the Son, the Lord Jesus. We can enter into the Holy of Holies to God the Father. We go right through the veil because of the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. He had dedicated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You see what Jesus did for us? Jesus was perfect. And Jesus bought us, and Jesus paid the debt, that awful debt that comes with sin, and the debt that we had with sin was the wages of sin is death. And my friend, it's wonderful to know we have a Savior. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Another area of the scripture that speaks of the washing of the water. Remember, as we looked, we were made new by the blood of Jesus. And then we come to the laver. So we have the brazen altar. And then we come to the laver. And that laver then, of course, is something that we wash. It's a constant washing that we deal with, to cleanse ourselves, to make us more suitable for service. You see, that's what we're to be doing, making ourselves more suitable for service. And so I hope that you enjoyed the study today. We'll finish this. We're just about done with it, and we'll finish it, and then we'll go on and get the nation of Israel into the promised land. I think that you'll enjoy that. But I want you to see the connection between the book of Hebrews and the book of Leviticus, because if you will understand Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will really enjoy the book of Hebrews, but not until then. And so I hope that you've enjoyed this study. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, please come today. And if you do, begin this washing my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?